I'd like to start with a verse in the 12th chapter of Romans. Just one verse, ninth verse. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." I'd like to think tonight about love, hate, and convictions. Love. This says, let love. Well, you could stop right there, really, I think, and say, that's quite a thought. Love. It's been tried to be expressed what it is in a lot of different ways. Different places in the scriptures have different particular meanings of love, different ways. But it's something that is, the best way I can hardly say it is that it's something that moves me. It's the way I can see it. No matter how much I can express it or can't express it, I find it a power. It's something that is an influence in my life. It makes me to do things that nothing else would make me do. It makes me not only do them, but do them in a certain way. I don't just do them, but I'm glad that I do them. When I do it for love. It's got that kind of power. I've been in places before to where I didn't want to do a certain thing that I felt like I had to do. And then be reminded of why I was doing it. And it changes the whole situation. I can go from not wanting to do it to wanting to do it with all my heart. Because of love. So let love. Let love. Let love be. Let it be in your life. Don't hinder love. Love. Allow love to be full. I want to tell you, you can risk some things in doing it. But I think it's one of the highest things that God wanted to give us. He risked a lot loving. He loved and he risked a lot to do it. He was rejected. You may be rejected too. But your life will be fuller if you let love. If you embrace love and willing to love. Willing to do what you can in love. It is a power. I believe that love is one of the essentials in allowing us to be faithful to the end. I know why I want to do what I do. Because I love the Lord. There may be a lot of challenges come into my life and me want to do certain things, but the thing that constrains me, the apostle said, the love of Christ. It constrains me. There's something about it. Him loving me makes me want to do right to him. He loves me and I don't want to hinder that love. I want to let love. I want to let God love me. And I want to love him back. It says, let love be without dissimulation. And that means hypocrisy. It's no pretense. You know, you can pretend. We can pretend. We say brother a lot around here. But those are words. Didn't you know sometimes I can hear those words and I know there's pretense with that. I've seen a pretense in that. It's not love without dissimulation, but there's a hypocrisy goes along with that. I'm loving you as long as you're agreeing with me. As long as there's nothing else happening, I'll let this flow. You know, that's a pretense. That's an hypocrisy. That's an act. But we should let love, we should let it happen. We should have it without pretense. We should love, not in word, in profession, but in action indeed. In action indeed, proving love. What would a world be without love? Love is the spice of our life. Love is what makes a home good. It's not the house. It's not the furniture. It's not the paint on the wall it's what makes it real is the love that belongs there. Without pretense. I've asked the Lord this before. Lord, help me. I've wondered this many times. I was talking with the ordination. I brought it back to my mind. But I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, can I really be successful in a ministry if I don't love souls? Can we really be successful reaching out the gospel news if we don't love souls? It'll come off a little disingenuous. It'll come off, and the world does these things, but doesn't it come off a little foul? It don't come off, God'll bless you if you send me your money. That's disingenuous. That's not without dissimulation. That's hypocrisy. But let love be without dissimulation. Proving to one, what a challenge that we have as the people of God. You know why the world will look and envy us and want to be a part of us? You know how they're going to know that we're people of God? You know how they're going to know we love, how we're associated with Christ? You know how they're going to really know that? Because we have love. One to the other. That's how they're going to know. It's going to, the witness. And I think it's the witness that the whole world needs. And I'd like to see it just put out there. But I want to tell you something else. I think having it is what's going to hold me in this thing too. I think it will be something that anchors me. That makes me not want to go anywhere else. I don't want to lose this. I don't want to lose. This is what I want in my life. Love. Let love be without dissimulation. Oh, sometimes in my mind I get a vision or an idea of what if? What if this is supposed to be? But what if this is really played out in our lives? Us as a body. Love. Without any dissimulation. No pretense on my part. No saying one thing and believing something or doing something else or doing something else. And when it comes right down to it, the real love there, the real concern. You know what it means? It means goodwill. Towards men. Goodwill. My will towards you is good. I want what's best for you. In every circumstance, I want what's best for you. I want you to prosper. I want you to be lifted up. I don't want anything to harm you or hurt you. Or I don't want to be lifted up at your expense. Because you're put down, I can feel better. I don't mind that you look better than me. I don't mind that you have more than I have. I don't mind that you preach better than I do. I don't mind that you sing better than I do. I want you to because love's without dissimulation. I want to see everybody up as much as it is. You know what I found out? I only prosper when the saints prosper. I've seen envies like that and I've scratched my head. Why would you feel envy at somebody else? What does it get you? They get richer and you get angrier? That doesn't seem like it works. Why do you care? If somebody ends up with $1 million, it don't hurt me one little bit. And if they're my friend, it may help. But let love with them since I hope everybody in here prospers greatly. I hope God gives you all that you can say. I hope He pours out from the windows of heaven, just pours out on you blessings. I'm going to tell you, I think it's important that we love. I think it's an anchor. I think it's something for the soul that's beneficial for our lives. So this scripture is talking, and I want to talk about three things. One of them is love, and it's an influence. that makes me do things. It makes me say things. It makes me look in pity. I love my wife. I love my children. I love them. But you know, that's a natural thing. Shouldn't I do that? And I've asked the Lord before, Lord, give me a love for others like I have for them. I want to see my children prosper. I want to see the thing. I want, Lord, help me to have a fuller love. Because we can say, love you, brother. Really? I remember years ago, I hadn't been saved very long at all, and I hadn't come out with the saints. And folks, I was ignorant. I look at pity on people because I didn't know anything, hardly. I was really ignorant. But you know something that I understood? I understood about loving somebody. And I remember this congregation of people, and I love them today, and I think I'm still friends with them to that. But there was this congregation of people, and I remember that one of the processes of in their worship service, they would stop every once in a while and do what they had said was fellowship. And what they called was fellowship was they'd all go around and greet one another. And they would hug each other and say, love you, brother. Love you, sister. And they would do, the whole congregation just go around fellowshipping, they said, loving one another and doing those kind of things. Well, that's impressive. I mean, in a sense, that's, but I want to tell you, that's what you call doing it in word. It's in word. I love you. And I remember saying to one of them said to me in this conversation, and they said they needed a ride to town. Well, I knew another one was going by their house. It wasn't like they had to go a long way. So he was driving by their house going to town. So I suggested, well, why don't you have her take you to town? And she said, she would never give me a ride to town. I'd never ask her for a ride to town. And I'm like, well, why not? Oh, she don't like me. You all was hugging at church last night, saying you loved one another. And I'm thinking, I don't know anything about all this system of church and all that. But I know that ain't right. Understand what I'm saying? That's what the simulation. It's a pretense. I love you, brother. I love you. You need anything? You know you ought to be careful in saying to anything you want. You need anything, you let me know. You know, that can be pretty hollow unless you mean it. And it can be with hypocrisy. And it's so valuable. Lord, help us to get a hold of this little phase. Love is a great influence in our lives. Lord, help us to feel the love to our brethren. Help us to really feel it. Help us to really embrace it and want it to be the... I want all my brethren to prosper. Lord, bless them good in every way. The next part of this passage is to abhor that which is evil. To hate evil. This is a rock in our lives, if we put it there. Do you hate evil? Now, this word is emphatic. It isn't casual in the statement. It's emphatic. It means to utterly detest it. It is strong. And it's strong in emotions, and both of these are. Love is, and so isn't hate. Hate's very strong in the emotion. To utterly detest evil. One writer said it, that you ought to hate evil like you hate hell that it takes you to. Think of that. You ought to look at evil like it was hell itself. Because it is what takes you to hell. And so as you look at the things that's evil around you, you ought to hate that thing. It is a bulwark for us. It's a help to us. If we can hate evil, and when we understand that it is something God don't want us to do, to be able to hate that with a passion is a value to us. Lord, help us to have a vision
through that to see what it really is. That thing may shine. It may glitter. It may look exciting. But hell's the end of it. And we ought to hate that thing. Hate it. And I wonder how much we do. I've heard all my saved life that there's music out there that we shouldn't listen to. And there's a lot of arguments to why it don't matter. But you know, when a song starts promoting adultery, you ought to hate it. You know what adultery's doing to our country? And we talk about the breakdown of the family. You know the primary reason for that is adultery? When you look and you see the devastation done to young people, children, when you see the devastation that's going on in the land, you ought to hate it. But it's kind of a passive way of looking at it. It's not abhorring or utterly detesting it to casually listen to it and say, okay, I hate that song, but isn't it just a song? Understand what I'm saying? There ought to be more than that to it. We ought to hate it. We ought to despise that in what it does. And I see in our nation today, we've heard some of that in this meeting all day, but I see a nation that is being very passive about it. And I think the studies and some of the things that I've heard, if you ask people about what they believe, you still get a pretty good answer. Do you know that? You still get a fairly good answer in our country about, is there a God? Most people say, yeah, he's a God. Do you think certain things are wrong? Yeah, they're wrong. Should this happen? Nope, shouldn't happen. You get a pretty good. But nobody hates it. I'm saying hate it to the degree that they'd do something about it. To utterly detest it. I'll give you an example. And I don't mean for it to be any more than an example. This country was made and set up with a system of government. And the whole idea of it was to set it up in a way that the people would have the most voice in it possible. That's the way it's set up. It was set up to have a judicial branch, a legislative branch, and an executive branch of government. But the whole thing bases back down to the will of the people. You know, if things are going on in this country, if you really want to get down to it, it's either the inaction or the bad action of the people. Always. And there is out there, we've heard it several times in this meeting already. You heard the Defense of Marriage Act. It's a defense of marriage. And there's been people that rose up and said, we want to preserve what marriage is. And so it's the Defense of Marriage Act. And do you know most of the states have passed it? Overwhelmingly passed it. The people have said, when it's put right to it, do you want this or that? They'll say, of course this. And they overwhelmed it. Overwhelmingly voted for it. You know what happened to it? Judges overturned it. But wait a minute. How does judges get on there? They're appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. When you go one step further, people they're indifferent about the evils of it. They won't follow through. It's the same way with abortion and many other things. And it comes down to how much do you really hate it? Are you willing to stand against it? Are you willing to put it to proof? I'm just giving you an example because it works the same way in our life. Evil is all around us. And if we're not careful, we will not keep it out of a second stage. First stage, yeah, I don't agree with it. But second stage, it don't seem to matter so much. If we're willing to put in ungodly men that openly say that's what they're for, then we're deserving it. We're not hating evil. We're being passive about it. We're not even, many people say, well, I just won't vote. I can see getting to the point that there's no use voting because it's all that way. I ain't, listen, my vote's for Jesus.
Right up and down, I'm for Jesus. But I want to tell you something. The faults and the things of this country is much widespread in responsibility than it looks on the surface. Because the people don't care. They're not caring. It doesn't make no difference. We'll go ahead and put it in there. Oh, I may have a side thing and I may say, yeah, this politician, he promised to put a little building in our little community there in Greenbank, and he's going to get us the money, so I'm going to vote for him. And I don't care what his other policies is of abortion and homosexuality, and I don't care about all that, as long as I get my building. Lord, help us. Because this scripture says to utterly detest evil, as if it's hell itself. And then that goes into a lot of areas. And to my words, remember sometimes I saved and these other people was claiming to be saved. I won't judge that, but this person said to me, he said, oh, there's this movie, you got to watch it. And I was like, no, I don't. No, you got to watch it. Oh, then they said, Marty, there's only a couple bad scenes in it. And I said, how many do you have to have? How much do I have to have before I hate it? I think one's enough. I think even the intent of it's enough. Even the suggestion of it's enough. I don't have to see it full-fledged to see it and say, that's bad. That's bad. You know, we ought to care about these things and say, no. That's wrong. That's bad. I don't want it in my life. I don't want it in my life. I know the idea of having a television is kind of an outdated thing. And there was a debate a few years ago about it. And I remember looking at my wife and saying, I don't care what anybody says. I ain't having one. I ain't having one simply to disrupt my life. I like my life. I like what the Lord does with us. I like my family setting. I like eating supper at the table. I like having the children. I don't want that there. Plain and simple. Well, everything ain't bad. I know it. If you made an argument with you, I'd agree with you. Everything couldn't be bad. But I ain't waiting in the septic tank to find out. Because I don't want that in my life. I don't want the things that I used to have. I used to have it. I don't want it. And listen, folks, if we could learn to hate evil the way the Lord hates evil, and if we would see it the way He sees it, if you and I could see evil the way He sees it, I think we could hate that. It's against God. It's against right. But it's against us. You understand? It's against our honor and integrity as created in the image of God. It's against us as people. It brings us down. It brings us down and down. And it influences us. And the great influence we can have in our life is to hate it. I want to tell you. You hate something. I don't know. I have a great wide range of things I eat. If you say, hey, this is something people eat, I probably eat it. And it takes a strange taste for me not to kind of like it. It just seems like I have a wide variety. But when you don't like something and you say that's bad, you won't eat it. That I ain't eating that. You know, it'd be the same way if we could really get the taste of sin and of evil. And really get it for what it really is? You hate evil today? I'm talking about really hating it. This is scripture. Do you utterly detest it? Is that book you're reading? And that chapter in there, or those places in there? You know, I like to read. I never did before. But after I got saved, I become a reader. And I read different things. And I got a book one day. I was reading this. And there was something in there all of a sudden that the writer, it was completely out of context. I don't know what it was all about, but I read a little bit of that. And I got so angry that I trashed that book. That was so wicked. I just threw it away. At first I thought, I'll rip them pages out. And I said, no, I'm not. I'll throw it in the trash. That's where it belonged. It was in the trash. Because it was trash. Lord, help us to hate. That song, those songs, you know, most people are very musical. I mean, music's powerful. Music's powerful. It's been used and used. It's powerful. But what's it saying? What's it doing? Listen, we're commanded to hate that stuff. We're commanded to hate the things that's wrong about life. We're commanded to stand separate from it. Separate yourself from it. I want to challenge you today, because I know this has to be a place. I want to challenge you today to ask the Lord to help you to hate evil. It'll be a great influence in your life. It'll secure you. It'll make you solid as a saint. No, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to do that. No, I ain't going to get close to it. Lord, help us. I heard a guy on the radio recently talking about the alternative lifestyle of people and marriage. Someone had said to him that they're ruining marriage. And he said, no, they're not. It's already been ruined. He said, Hollywood ruined it a long time ago. Folks, you know what happened in our history with that? You know, there was a time in this country that any kind of divorce was frowned at. It was very frowned at. It was not a positive. It was a negative by our culture. Our culture was, it was a negative. It was frowned out very much. And along comes Hollywood. And people started exalting. They're lifting them up. They watched them on a screen and they become bigger than life. And they started playing with marriage. You know that? They started playing with it. And people accepted it. That's what happened. They didn't say, I ain't watching that. You know what them people were doing? Not going to watch it. When you can hear later that in the process of making the movie, the two stars in it actually got rid of their companions and got together. Well, no, nobody was calling out. And so, there it went. Now it's come to a time that marriage has been. Well, we don't see it so much because it's very dear to us, but that's not the way the world's looking at it. You know, it's okay if you don't get along. It's okay to get another one. Where did it all come from? It come because of people quit hating. That's where it come from. It come because people didn't despise it. They didn't make a stand to it. They didn't say, no, I'm going to make a stand against this. They're making millions off them. They won't make millions off my buck. I'm not going to watch it because that's wrong. And instead, they begin to glorify and lift up, and they made money on top of money on top of money, and it started going, and it couldn't help from infiltrating the populace and making changes in the way people viewed things. And it all started because they just simply didn't hate it any longer. It become acceptable. Lord, help us to hate evil. We can't do anything, folks, about the world. I'm talking about doing something about my life. I'm talking about having something in my own life. I'm talking about how secure I am in the Lord. I'm talking about the fact that I don't want to be a bad statistic somewhere along the line. Somebody that used to be saved, that got away somewhere, got off on something and believed something that wasn't right, or took some kind of stand that wasn't right. I'm not interested in that. And it's these three elements. One, the first one was love without dissimulation. Then to abhor evil, utterly detest evil. And everything that you understand is wrong and bad, utterly detest that thing. Stay away from it. Treat it as poison. It will be eventually. It's as poison as the hell it'll send you to. Lord, help us to hate evil. Then the third part of this. It says to cleave to that which is good. The word cleave meant to cement or glue yourself. You know, the Lord helped me get a hold of that. Me and my wife, we talk a lot about different things, and we was recently talking about the thoughts of, could it happen to us? Could we change? Could we turn around? Could we leave? Could we get discouraged and fall away from the truth and all those things? We know Scripture does say, if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. And I started meditating and thinking. And thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for what God's done in my life. Do you know that I haven't received a check from a job of any kind. I have not got a payday from a job of any kind except for the work of the Lord in almost 20 years. And if I go back, I'm going to have to get a job. I'm just telling you, I've cleaved to something that was good. And there is an element of cement there. There's an element of change there. I've got a whole lot of my life. All my life is glued in. You know, I'm glued into the saints. You know, my best friends in this world is the saints. You know, the ones that I talk to, the ones I fellowship with, the ones I want to be around are the saints. If I quit, I got to unglue myself from a lot of things. It says to cleave to that which is good. I could not imagine not calling on the Lord for help when I get in trouble. I'm glued in. I'd have to change that whole way of thinking to go and be backslide. I'd have to quit praying. Can you keep praying and backslide? I don't know how that works, but I think I got some glue. I've cleaved to some things that was good. You know, there's precious scriptures. There's precious scriptures that'll help you in your hard times. I'd have to unglue myself from some of them. You know, how can I be saved and claim He'll be with me all the way, even to the end of the world? How am I going to get courage from that if I'm backsliding? See, I've got, this scripture is saying cleave. And I want you to notice something. There's an emotion in love, isn't there? There's an emotion in hate. But it don't sound like He's talking about emotion here. In this one, it's convictions. I'm convinced. I don't have to have feelings about going to church. Now, I don't have to have feelings about it because I got a conviction about it. I think that the Lord wants me to go, and it don't matter how I feel about it. I'm blessed when I go, and it don't matter how I feel about it. Love or hate don't enter into it. Strong passion don't enter into it. I like when I really am passionate about going, but I don't have to be passionate about going. I go because I'm convicted about going. I do a lot of things in my life, and I think the idea of having convictions in your life, folks, seek conviction. And as Brother Tony taught us for years, conviction is nothing more than being convinced. It's a convincing of your soul that this is what I'm going to do. This is right. This is what I'm going to do. I'd have to about unglue from my wife everything we do. We do it together. We do it as a team in the Lord. I'd have to unglue the backslide. I think of all the things. Cleave to that which is good. Think the things that's good, folks. I would recommend that you make relationships of good, godly people. I mean, somebody that you can say something to. You know what I'm saying? Build relationships, close bonds, cleave to that which is good. Get some contact cement in there. Get joined up with somebody that can help you pull it. Contact with, make it a lot harder to backslide. It makes it a whole lot harder to go against the Lord when you're getting discouraged. If you like going that, but here's that one that you got real close with. Here's these people in your life that mean so much to you. Cleave to that which is good. Take the good things about life. You know what? I'm not the kind of person that believes that there's devils behind every tree and He's going to jump out and take me. I don't believe that at all. God's got more power than that. I think I can live life and live it to the fullest. And I think God's got a lot of things in righteousness for me to enjoy and all that. And He wants me to take the good things and enjoy them. Cleave to the good, wholesome things. I take my son hunting sometimes. It's valuable to do it. I take him fishing sometimes. We get out as a family sometimes. We do things together as families. We cleave to good things. You know, folks, we're human and we want something going on in our life. I don't like to be bored. I don't like nothing going on. And many times that's where, folks, especially young people, that's where you get took at. The nothing going on and nothing. But I want to tell you, cleave to the good things. Find the things in life. You know, there's things that have good character in them. There's good morals in them. There's good things that you can do. Embrace it. Shun the bad. Accept the good. Take it on. Enjoy it. Live life to the fullest. Lord, help us to cleave to that which is good, because it'll be fulfilling. Now, you may have a different mind than I do and care about different things. Sometimes I get the biggest thrills out of some of the smallest things. Doing puzzles with my children. Cleave to that which is good. Make a family. Have a home. Do the things that are wholesome and right and good. Cleave to that which is good. Cleave to it. It means cement yourself to it till you can't get loose from it. It's not easy to break loose. If I can use the word habit, make good habits in your life. Make good devotions in your life. Make good habits of things in the Lord. Build those things in your life like cement. Concrete those things in your life. You know, there's nothing wrong with being active in your mind to say, I'm going to say something good to somebody today. Wouldn't be a thing wrong with it. It'd be a good practice for all of us. Just a good, you know, a good workout. A good exercise. Well, just today I'm going to say something kind to somebody. I'm going to help somebody out. Wouldn't be a thing wrong as cleaving to some things. Making it happen. You know, I believe that this is a recipe for victory. I believe if we take these three things and endeavor by the Lord's help to incorporate that into our lives, I believe that there would be an amount of victory there in our souls. I believe that it would defend us against attacks of the devil. I believe there would be places there that would be stronger than ever in our lives. So I recommend that to you tonight. I love the way of the Lord. And I'm going to say there is challenges sometimes that I've had to ask the Lord, what to do. Is this good or is it bad? what's the end of this thing? But you know, there is a whole lot, I believe, still out there for us to uncover and understand and see. All to embrace the Scriptures and the understanding of the Scriptures. Cleave to that which is good. Put that into your life. You want something solid? Put the Word of God in your life. Live your life by it. Have those verses that come out in those times of trouble or that time of temptation. Have that Scripture that you've cleaved to. This is one I cleave to. You know, some of those Scriptures that just come out there at the right time. That ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians where Paul's poking himself in the eye. I love that Scripture. There's at times I have to poke myself in the eye. You know what I'm saying? I have to put my body under. Here's a good one. Here's a good one for you. And then some of those about jumping over a wall and running through a troop and going through the fire and through the flood. And some of those kids, oh, they're good. Cleave your heart. See, convictions. Having convictions. You have convictions in your life? I'm very slow to try to wound somebody's conviction. There can be misguided ones sometimes. But I'm very careful in trying to say something about it because convictions are so important. And Lord, help us to weigh that, all those things out. But Lord, help us to have personal convictions. Somebody comes up to you and says, why do you dress the way you do? Oh, I don't have a clue. That's the way we always done it. It's the way people do it. I don't have a clue. Well, you know what? That ain't very strong. It's not really very strong. But you can get convictions. If you don't have them, the Lord will help you get them. He'll show you why. He'll give you the convictions. We went into a Cracker Barrel here recently, and I love when this happens. I'm going to tell you, it happens a lot with us. The family had already went seated, and I come in later, and the woman that was seating us and all says, where do y'all go to church at? I was real tempted. I don't do it, but I was real tempted to say, I didn't say I went to church. What makes you think I do? Because I want her to say why it is, because it's valuable. We have convictions. Understand what I'm saying? We have convictions about this. But you saw our convictions. You saw it put out to the front. Because I didn't say we went to church. And yet you know it.
And I want it to be that way, folks. I do. I want to give the ultimate witness for the Lord that I can, and I think that's it. Be honest with you, I think nakedness is absolutely ugly. I do. I think nakedness in this world is absolutely ugly. I hate to see it. Because it's a conviction I have in my soul. You know, I still have, well, it ain't been real recent, but I got saved and the Lord gave me some convictions. And you know why? Because I was such an ungodly young man. So ungodly. And when I got saved, the Lord started dealing with my heart about things. And I used to have this reoccurring dream of running through my hometown with short sleeves on. And in that dream, it was a nightmare. You know why? Because I was naked. I felt naked. That's all there was to it. I felt naked in my dream. And I was going around the corners, peeking around, trying to do this, so I could get somewhere, so I could get myself covered up. There's nothing wrong with it, folks. We need convictions. And somebody would ask me about my conviction about them, I could tell them about those dreams and about the way I feel about it and about the safe place I felt like the Lord has brought me. Because there's standards and lines and everything, isn't there? There's lines that we have. Everybody's got to have a line somewhere. And there's a place that the Lord has convicted me. And I have some personal convictions along that line. So it's not an argument about what it's about a conviction that I have in my heart. And these things will hold us, folks. I just wanted to put that out there because I think they're so valuable. Learn to love fully. Be open. And when you see that falseness coming in there, don't allow that to have the preeminence in your life. And when the things are wrong around you, folks, I wish more people would stand up to the plate. I wish more people would stand up and say, that's wrong. That's wrong, and the direction of it's wrong. I'd love to see more of it happen. And Lord, help us to do it. If we can't do it all together for the world, we can at least do it for our own lives. And I want to spare my family and all of that, the heartache of those kind of things too. So I want that kind of stuff out of life. And then the other thing, cleave. That means grab hold of it. Get those convictions in life that holds tight to the things that are good. You won't be sorry for it. And like I said the other day, is I'm amazed that those that laughed at me laugh no longer. Noah, I don't know. The scripture doesn't really say all that. I think some of it's there, some of it's not. But the idea is that he preached, he was a preacher of righteousness, and he started building a boat out there where there was no water, and people started mocking him and making fun of him. And I don't doubt it a bit that it happened just that way, but there come a time that they didn't laugh. You know that? There come a time when the laughing was over. You can laugh at Daniel for his convictions and what he went ahead and done, but there come a time they wasn't laughing. And there'll be a time for all of us, folks, and I just want us to see more than what's here right now, to see the eventuality of this. In years to come, folks, we're going to pay great dividends for what we've given into this. It'll pay off. It'll pay off, and for those that don't, there's going to be a lot of shipwreck and heartache and those kind of things. So Lord, help us to do these things and be faithful. You pray for me.